Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done.
How much does it matter if God made the world? Would it make any difference if the world existed by random chance? Surely we've progressed now beyond belief in a creator. The atheist Richard Dawkins has said many interesting things. One has always struck me very powerfully. He said, in a universe of electrons and selfish genes, blind physical forces, and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. Is that right? We live in a universe of blind physical forces. There is no rhyme or reason, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. I wonder what you make of that. We face a stark choice. Either we believe in a universe in which there is a creator with a design and purpose, or we live in a chaotic universe in which there is no morality. Morality is just what we decide it is. So, in Hitler's Germany, society decided it was moral to murder 6 million Jews. In an atheistic worldview, you can't say that was absolutely wrong. Without God, there is no absolute right or wrong. Morality is whatever society decides it will be. There is no God to whom we are accountable. The writer of Genesis, who is Moses, wants to show us a different basis for philosophical thought. Moses wants to show us that there is a God who made the world. Therefore, there is meaning, purpose, and morality. I want to show you three things this morning on the backs of your sheets. God made the world, God made people, and God made rest. Firstly then, God made the world, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In May, we've invited Hugh Ross to come and speak to us. Hugh is a Canadian astrophysicist, Christian apologist, and old earth creationist. Ross obtained his PhD in astrophysics from the University of Toronto. He's known for establishing his own ministry in 1986 called Reasons to Believe that promotes old earth creationism. Bernard went to California to speak for Reasons to Believe last year. Ross accepts the scientific age of the earth and the scientific age of the universe, but he rejects unguided evolution and abiogenesis as explanations for the history and origin of life. My point is, there are top scientists in the world who believe, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Becca and I studied at Oxford and Cambridge. There are more scientists coming to faith in Oxford and Cambridge than art students. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not a scientist. Last year, Becca and I climbed Corn Dee. Corn Dee is the second highest mountain in the Brecon Beacons. In fact, if you walk just over the ridge, you come to the top of Penavan, which is the highest mountain in the Brecon Beacons. However, I was too exhausted to go any further. But when we stood on the top of Corn Dee, on an unusually warm and sunny day, and looked at the view, to believe that that was just chance, or to believe that the images in David Attenborough's Blue Planet were just the product of chance, to me is utterly unconvincing. To read Shakespeare or listen to Mozart and believe that there is no design in the world is utterly incredible. I simply don't believe it. Most importantly of all, Jesus believed in God's creation. In Matthew 19:4, Jesus says, "Haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female," and so on. Jesus believes in God's creation. Now, what can we say about this creation? We can say that it was the work of the Trinity. Verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." So God the Father made the world. Jesus made the world. In Genesis 1:2, "The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So the Spirit is involved in the creation of the world. When it comes to the creation of people, in verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." So there is plurality within the Godhead. God is one. He is three in one. And the Trinity make us in their image. What else can we say about the creation of the world? God speaks creation into being. Verse 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And that's the repeated pattern. Verse 6, "And God said," verse 9, verse 11, and so on. It's striking then, to go back to John 1, to note that Jesus is described as the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. God speaks creation into being. And Jesus is God's word. He is the embodiment of God's word. We can know God's word. We can read the Bible. We can know Jesus as God's living word. The same word that spoke creation into being is in our hands or on our phones. I've learned that one now. We know God's word personally in the person of Jesus. God made the world. Secondly, God made people. Verses 27 to 31. Now, to believe this makes all the difference in the world. Going back to Richard Dawkins, the universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. So, it's obviously not evil if a cat kills a mouse. That's just part of nature. But in an atheistic world, in which there is no creator, who creates morality? Who decides right and wrong? It cannot be said to be absolutely evil to kill a person. Morality is what society decides. So we've all agreed it's right to kill an animal that's in distress. A friend of mine took his dying cat to a farmer, and the farmer shot it. It cost 10p for a bullet. It would have cost £70 to have the cat put down. I have no problem with putting an animal out of its misery. But what about an unborn child? We abort 200,000 babies a year in the UK. 200,000. Is there anything wrong with that? What about euthanasia? If you can put a cat out of its misery, why not put a person out of their misery? What is it about human beings that makes us different to animals? Are we different to animals? The Green Party advocates the extension of human rights to animals. In our society, we freely kill unborn babies. What is a biblical view of humanity? Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we are made in the image of God. You can look at a person and say, that is what God is like. to some extent. My parents have two dogs called Henry and Maisie. They're a bit of a pain, but they're quite lovable. They are not made in the image of God. They are just animals. So if they ever need expensive medical treatment, my parents are quite clear they're not going to spend the money on it. But my children are made in the image of God. If ever they needed life-saving medical treatment, I have no doubt my parents would give us their last penny, as Becca and I would spend our last penny. Human life is precious. Animal life is expendable. If a horse falls at the Grand National, sometimes it is shot. If the rider hurts himself, he gets expensive medical care. That is right. We are made in the image of God. Animals are not. Because we are made in the image of God, we are to rule the animals, verse 26, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. We are the rulers. This means, of course, we must rule well under God. We must steward the animal kingdom in a way which pleases God. In fact, we must steward the whole of creation. We are blessed for this purpose. Verse 28, God blessed them. That is a wonderful thing. God has blessed humanity. We enjoy his favor. Even after the fall, we enjoy the special blessing of God. And as blessed image bearers of God, not as animals, verse 28, we must be fruitful and multiply. We must fill the earth and subdue it. We are stewards of creation. Therefore, we should be concerned about the environment. God did not give us stewardship to exploit the earth out of existence. He expects us to care for creation. We should care that Bangladesh will be drowned out of existence by rising sea levels. We're not just to walk by on the other side. We should all do our bit for the environment. We should honor our farmers. They literally live out verse 29. They steward the seed-bearing plants, the trees with fruits on them. They steward animals. It's important to say we are made in the image of God as male and female. Verse 27. This means male and female are equal. We are equally made in the image of God. Moreover, if you don't have both sexes, you don't have the image of God. God's image is reflected in male and female. If you disregard one gender and just focus on the other, you've lost something important about the image of God. We know from later scripture that God has feminine characteristics. Isaiah 49, verses 15 to 16, God is like the nursing mother with a baby. Matthew 23, 37, Jesus longs to gather his people under his wings, like a mother hen. That is what God is like. That is part of what God is like. God is beyond description. Only in heaven will we fully understand him. But for now, we can say, to know what God is like, we must see his reflection in both male and female. Although, it would be to go beyond Scripture to refer to God as Mother God. Both men and women are precious and equal. They have different complementary roles in the home and in the church, but they are equal. And because both sexes reflect the image of God, we should embrace our given gender. We should say, thank you, God, for my gender. Thank you that I reflect your image through my gender. We don't accept the prevailing sentiment in our society that you can change your gender. I don't have time to treat this subject now, but if you go on our website, you'll find a talk I gave on this subject. I also recommend reading Vaughan Roberts. My talk borrows heavily from Vaughan Roberts. God made the world, God made people. And thirdly, God made rest into chapter 2. Because we're in the image of God, we rest. God is a worker. He makes the world. He sustains the world. But he rests. Clearly, he doesn't stop sustaining the world, but he enjoys his creation on the Sabbath day. Verse 2, by the Sabbath day, seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. When my parents were teenagers, the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, Saturday, in the Old Testament, but which Christians made the Sunday, because the New Testament talks about the Lord's Day. When my parents were young, you couldn't do anything on a Sunday except go to church. There was something legalistic about that. But now, we've swung far too far in the opposite direction. Sunday is just like any other day. But we were designed to rest one day in seven. I obviously work on Sundays, and for 20 years, I've been very bad at taking a clear day off. But I have learnt that physical and mental health require a day off. Our society has forgotten this at its peril. Many of you have to work on Sundays. It's not your fault. But we need to remember we are living out the image of God in us, that we rest one day in seven. God rests. He's showing us something very important. God made the world. God made people. God made rest. Now perhaps you have many questions this morning. Perhaps you are rather persuaded by Richard Dawkins' view of a godless universe. Perhaps you feel torn between two worldviews. Well, keep coming to church. Why not make 2018 the year you sort these issues out? We are privileged people, you know. We know the God who made the world. We know the Word that spoke creation into being. We are made in the image of God. We are made for rest. And ultimately, we will rest in heaven with God forever. As we come to communion, let's thank God for our status as image bearers. And let's thank God that he gave Jesus to restore the image of God in us that sin spoiled.